podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Howard Yuzerski of the Howard Yuzerski Gallery in Boston, Massachusetts. We're talking about the Sandra Stark exhibition, Natural Still Lifes. And I gotta say, I was dubious about her at first, but the story won me over, and now I'm a total fan. Enjoy! A big thank you to our sponsor, McGinn's Roxborough Maple Irish Whiskey. I've been involved with this brand from the beginning, and I'm really happy and excited to see what's become. I don't drink, but I love a good story. The history behind it is what got me. It's an old family story. Henry Stratford Pearse owned the longest-running distillery in Galway in the 19th century. So we've combined the Pearse whiskey with, did I mention the part of the family that were Vermont sugarers? They produced the high-quality maple syrup associated with Vermont. So we've combined the Pearse whiskey with the maple, which gives it a really nice, even taste, I'm told. All the tastings I've been a part of have had a really good response. It's through this story that I was introduced to Hugh Lane, who was actually the inspiration for this podcast. Check out roxboroughwhiskey.com to learn more about the whiskey and the story. So tell me about Sandra Stark, because just tell me about her. And I'll let you know what I see.
This is actually the first time I've shown Sandra's work. Mm-hmm. I've been looking at the work for a long time. And when I saw this body of work, I was really taken with it. Mm-hmm. Sandra's a photographer, mm-hmm. But she always works with constructed images. Mm-hmm. And she actually has been teaching her class at a museum school here in Boston. Mm-hmm. And the class is making a picture instead of taking a picture.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So what do you know what I mean by constructed images?
I have an idea, but I'm not entirely sure.
Well, it's essentially the same thing that O'Reilly was doing, mm-hmm. where he would set up a tableau and then photograph it and then cut it up. Mm-hmm. She sets up the same kind of like in this case, they're kind of like still lifes. Mm-hmm. And she takes, and then she photographs them, and it's straight photographs. There's no Photoshop, and there's no... No kind of digital manipulation to the images, which is
rare.
Which is yeah, for both of them, they're both analog kind of people. I mean, O'Reilly doesn't even have a computer; he doesn't do emails.
Oh my goodness!
So yeah, but with Sandra, you know, she's obviously younger, and she's very much up to the technology, but her studio practice is straight photography.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Her pictures are a lot to take.
Her pictures are what?
Are kind of a lot to take. So I'm going to word my questions carefully. I kind of have the feeling that she goes for shock value.
But in an understated way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by that, I mean, you sort of have to look for the shock, don't you think? I mean, she doesn't really beat you over the head with it.
No. Well, okay. When I first saw her pictures, when I just kind of glanced at them, I was like, oh, they're so pretty and colorful. And then right. I kind of looked closer, and I was like, oh, there's a dead squirrel or something in there.
Exactly.
And just kind of like, oh, that's kind of turns my stomach. And honestly, when I first saw it, I was a little bit repulsed, but I was kind of like, okay, but it still has art value and there's gotta be an audience for it somewhere. But then I was just like, but people like early Dadaists did this all of the time. The anti-art stuff, the stuff that just, you didn't want to look at.
Right.
That's what sold that, or that was their thing.
Well, I think, that's true. And I think with Sandra, as with John, I think a recurrent theme through both their work is that life has both beauty and horror.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. That's part of living.
Right.
And this is the theme that she has worked with throughout her career as a photographer.
Combining the decay and life aspect.
Right. So, So she did a series in 2010 called Nature Versus Not Sure. And the series was, and again, I'm talking autobiographical here. The series was made around the time of her mother's death. This is 2010. Mm-hmm. And while she was going through her mother dying, I think it was a kind of a slow death. Her cat and dog were bringing her dead animals as presents.
Yeah.
which I know our cat used to do that too.
Yeah.
So that's something that I think, you know, pets do.
That's what animals do. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But she saw this as a sign that you know, they're trying to say that death is part of life, that this is you know, something that we part of living. And she started using these dead animals in her pictures, mm-hmm. because of that.
So
I saw those pictures, and I wasn't quite as convinced about the pictures because I'm not going to go into exactly why. So in the meantime, after her mother died, her father moved in with her for 9 years.
Oh, wow.
And for 9 years, she continued to make work, but having her dad there was difficult. It was difficult, and she never made anything she really liked.
Mm-hmm.
After her dad passed, fairly recently, actually, she started making this new series called Natural Still Lifes.
Mm-hmm.
And what I liked about these pictures is, like what you were saying, they do have that undercurrent of unease and horror, but it's kind of a little bit buried.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the way the space is used in those pictures. And that's why we did the exhibition, because I found, you know, this happens a lot of time in this business. You know, there could be an interesting artist, and you can look at the work and look at the work and look at the work, and then finally something hits you, and you pull the trigger and you do the show. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what happened with her. I was just very taken with these pictures, and it took a while for us to get together to do the exhibition, but in the end, that's what happened.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So what's with the natural still lifes as opposed to lives?
That's a good question. Is that what we have? We have natural still lifes.
Yeah.
Well, still life is a form. You know, there are people who are still life painters.
Right. Still life.
So and still life is a genre in the art world of people who, you know, do setups and make these, you know, make still lifes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you never hear still, but still
I guess,
lives.
Yeah, I guess you never do hear still lives.
No.
That's a stupid question. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's an interesting kind of juxtaposition to the words, actually, when you mention that.
Yeah.
If you call them natural still lives, It would be a completely different meaning.
And I don't know that you would completely get it. I probably would be like, what is he talking about?
It would be what?
I'd probably be like, I don't know what you're talking about. That's
exactly.
So, I mean, that's kind of a silly question, but it caught my attention. So,
right.
But okay. So now she's kind of won me over because I think it's her story's cool and her and now that I know what's going on with her natural still lifes, you know, her father dying or her mother dying rather, and the dogs bringing or the cats bringing the dead animals. I think that's kind of an interesting story. Who would be interested in it that does not? I mean, who's her audience? I guess.
Oh, that's an interesting question. Well, of course, I would say the audience for this would be serious photo collectors,
mm-hmm.
people who have photography collections,
mm-hmm.
or people who are interested in art, don't necessarily have a collection, but come in, you know, that don't collect art on a regular basis, but occasionally buy something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think these pictures are pretty appealing in that regard.
Right.
But it would also have to be someone who is not uneasy about the underlying current of horror
right.
in the picture.
Right. Because I can't see those pictures hanging in many living rooms or, you know, or parlors.
Well, it depends on the individual, I think.
Right. Right.
I think, you know, there are some people who actually collect I don't want to call this extreme art, but they collect, for them, art should not be comfortable.
Right.
I mean, number one, I think her pictures are beautiful.
Right.
You know, and so I was attracted to it because I felt that they were beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously...
But did you think they were beautiful right at first glance?
Did I think they were what?
Did you think they were beautiful right at the first glance?
Yeah, well, at first I thought they were beautiful because, you know, I thought maybe I wasn't looking at them close enough because I missed a lot of the kind of horror in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, like there's one with a decayed carcass. I mean, it's not a horrible thing, but it's about
right.
death, you know? I mean, so they're about death, but there are people who find death fascinating.
Yeah.
And, you know, and don't feel uncomfortable around it.
Right.
And don't feel uncomfortable buying art that deals with it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's a popular taste. You know, they're not seascapes by any stretch
yeah.
of the imagination.
Yeah.
Somebody who's going to buy a seascape isn't going to be interested in this, I'm sure.
Although, but seascapes has plenty of decay.
Seascapes have what?
Have plenty of decay and carcasses and stuff like that.
Well, true, but most of the time you see them, you're looking at waves breaking.
That's true. Yeah, you don't see the decay.
Yeah, I know it's there, but yeah, you're not looking at that in the picture. I mean, they tend to be beautiful either with sunsets or, you know, all of that stuff.
Right, right.
That is not the kind of work that interests me as a gallerist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I need to show work that is more than just decorative.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that the abstract work, that's a whole different category. I mean, that is not political, that has nothing to do with any kind of underlying. That I think I like the abstraction for its, you know, basically for it being beautiful, but it also should be more than just decorative. Even if it's abstraction, it should be more than just decorative.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I absolutely agree. I think that's great. So what does Howard Yozersky, the non-gallery owner, how does he decorate his house? What does he like to in his house?
Somebody actually described it to me once recently. What's the word she used? It was I can't remember. It was I'm attracted to work that is both not disturbing
mm-hmm.
is but also elegant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So our house, and my wife and I both, you know, we collect art.
Mm-hmm.
Our house is a combination of work that fits in that category.
Mm-hmm.
The abstraction tends to be more elegant. The figurative painting or the photography tend to be more about not eccentric, but I'm drawing a blank here as to what the description was. A really good description. So that kind of describes what I'm trying to what we live with.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, it does. So, but I mean, it doesn't sound like it's too dissimilar from you as a curator.
Right.
So just basically things that make you think.
Say that again?
Just basically things that make you think as well as,
exactly.
as well as tickle the eye.
Right. So that's kind of like describes it.
cool. So,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was going to ask you, what is the creature, what is the, I can't tell what the creature is in Eliot's pot.
The creature's in what?
The painting, the, or the picture, Eliot's pot of Sandra Stark. What is the creature that's in there?
Let me find that picture. It's called. Hang on a second. How do you say? Here we go. Let's do this. Why did I get John Riley again? Oh, here we are. Eliot's pot. So that picture. So that's, you know, so that's a picture that looks like it has either a rabbit's foot sticking out of the pot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a foot. It's a foot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could.
So what I see that as a very kind of classic still life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in terms of the setup and everything.
Mm-hmm.
What she generally tends to do now in that one, I think it's more obvious. Disquieting element is in that picture.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of the other pictures, I don't think that's necessarily, like there's a picture called Caterpillars Running.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and basically what's in there in the foreground is a loaf of bread that looks like it's dead. It's got bugs all over it.
Yeah.
You don't really see that initially.
Right. Yeah, that's part of the cringe effect.
Right.
So that's but I think that's I don't know, it's kind of taken on a whole new meaning to me now that I know the story behind it.
Yeah, so a lot of I think with her it definitely isn't very autobiographical. A lot of it had to do with you know, stuff that she owns, like the pearls and things like that. A lot of those things that are in her pictures, like the watches in her pictures, she sees those as kind of a metaphor for time.
Mm-hmm.
And her father pointed out to her that if you look at watch ad at advertising for watches.
Mm-hmm.
That they're always photographed with the hands being 10 after 10.
I never noticed that.
When you look at your next watch ad, check that out, because the hands are 10 after 10, and the second hand is pointed at 6. So it kind of creates this Y in the face of the clock, the watch.
Huh. Is that intentional? Why do they do that?
I think because it's symmetrical.
Oh, okay. That's a good reason.
You know, the face of the watch. When you look at it, you've got the two hands at 10 after 10, and then you've got the second hand coming down to the 6.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a Y.
Yeah. Okay.
A Y.
Yeah. I never noticed that.
I know. Now, once you know that, you'll be driven crazy by it.
Not now, and I'll see it everywhere.
All of the backgrounds in her photographs are from Life magazine.
Mm-hmm.
From old Life magazines.
Yeah.
Like the picture that is in in Caterpillars Running.
Mm-hmm.
It's a interior of a house with a staircase.
Mm-hmm.
That's from Life magazine. Then there's another picture that is. The background, it's called Climbing Falling Memento, where the background looks like it's a photograph of the Swiss Alps or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so the backgrounds are kind of very important, in terms of, you know, in terms of respecting the picture, because they kind of change the space in the picture.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's great. So how did she get, okay, tell me again how she got her start in art, or did...
Tell you again that how she what?
How did she start out with her art?
She started out always making photographs, but she always made photographs that she had to kind of set up, that she constructed.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of going out and photographing a landscape or photographing people, she in the studio would make her setup and basically photograph it. That was her way of working.
Mm-hmm.
So that which had to do with the title of her class about making a photograph instead of taking a photograph.
Mm-hmm.
She would make the setup. She'd basically make the photograph herself.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of taking a picture of something.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense. So that's basically what she's always done.
Uh-huh.
And, she says that one of the quotes of it is that she says that photographing is the theater of my life. And so, again, I think a lot of her pictures, like O'Reilly in a different way, have to do with things that, that she uses in the pictures and that she built the pictures around.
Excuse me one second, Howard. I've got a cough. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So... So did she ever do like normal photography, like normal still lifes, like just flowers?
Well, I'm sure she did, but it's not anything that she's ever shown. So if you go to her website, they're always, there is, the only thing that's a little, that she does do differently, there is a series that she did with her cats, which are not setups like that. Where she's photographing the cats doing their crazy cat thing, and part of the part of her she would do her setups, the cats would come in and often kind of like stop playing with the setup and kind of like changing that, and she saw that as kind of an interesting way of an interesting occurrence, the fact that this is what I started out to do. But, these creatures came in and decided, well, no, we don't like what you're doing. This is what you're going to do.
Right.
And if you liked it, she would photograph it. So she kind of, she's setting it up, but she's also willing to be flexible enough so if something happens and a surprise happens, she's happy to take that surprise.
Yeah, she can work with it. That shows a true artist.
Right. Right.
I think that's great, and I think that's rare.
Right.
So how long did you say you'd been working with her? Not very long?
Say it again.
How long did you say you had been working with her? Not as long?
This is our first show.
Okay.
But to get back to your question about my aesthetic and how we in terms of what we live with,
right.
The quote that I was trying to remember was the person said to me, well, you like the work that you like is quirky but elegant.
I love it. I think that describes
quirky,
me as well.
Quirky.
Yeah, yeah. I like quirky and elegant. That's great.
Yeah.
That's a really good description.
I like that combination.
Yeah, that's a great combination. I think these pictures. I think both these artists. They both have that descriptor to them.
And, and mostly the work that I show, I think, fits that category.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a gallerist, this is what I'm interested in.
Right. Right. And it's not something that you would see anywhere. I mean, there are things that are, you can always know an abstract painting. There's always a painting that you'll, a type of painting that people will always say is abstract.
Right.
And they're all pretty much... similar. I mean, they're different, but they're all pretty much the same, I guess.
Right.
These are, I can honestly say, I've never seen anything like these.
You mean in terms of Sandra's work?
In terms of Sandra's work and I guess not so much with John O'Reilly, but I mean, but
John is very quirky too. I think they both are.
Yeah.
So I think both of them fit that category. I mean, you know, he's no less. I mean, he's no less quirky than she is. He's pretty out there in that regard.
Right. Right. So yeah. But I think these are just very, very. I mean, these are rare in a good sense.
With her work, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, just. You can honestly say that you've never seen anything like them before.
Well, I like the fact that they, at first glance, right, they look kind of, you know, they do look like still lifes.
Mm-hmm.
The closer you examine them, the more you see. So I guess what I really like is I like work that is nuanced like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is not something that you're going to get at first. That unless you really look carefully, you're not in either one of them. You're not going to really get it. And Sandra is definitely like that. You really have to look at the pictures closely because they're complicated and they're nuanced. And unless you do that, you're really not going to understand what she's about.
Right. Right. No.
And you know, the average time that a viewer spends looking at a picture is 3 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, you know, I have a term for that when people come in and they start walking around and they never stop. I call it visual grazing.
That's a good descriptor. Yeah.
You know, you're not really seeing anything.
Right. Right. You're just kind of glazed over, like, yeah, just grazing.
Right.
Yeah, that's a perfect description. So what do you do? What do you do for the grazers? Do you engage them or do you?
Good question. You know, I mean, my first inclination is to kind of challenge them, but I stopped doing that. I don't do anything. I just sort of let them walk around and leave.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think if someone asks a question, I certainly will answer it.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody is not really stopping in front of something to look at it, they're just walking around. You know, without looking at anything,
mm-hmm.
what am I going to talk to them about?
Right, right.
And it's not, you know, you can't, everybody's got their own, and in people's defenses, you know, maybe they come in and what they're seeing on the wall doesn't interest them, and that's fair enough,
mm-hmm.
and that's why they're not looking at it.
Right.
But the problem is that, you know, you could be missing a lot of things if you don't give them a chance.
Right, right. Absolutely. And also, and I know this for myself, I can, like, it takes me a while to, like, take everything in and just kind of, like, if I go into a gallery and I'm just kind of, like, I see all this great work, I might not, I may not even be able to, like, stand at just one painting individually, but I might, like, I'll go home and I'll remember, you know, a painting that I saw on the wall, and I'll be like, "Oh, that's right! I should go back and see what that is, what that's all about."
Right.
So, I mean, so it can. They're not lost. I mean, it's not a wasted experience, is what I'm saying.
Well, you know, I think people have to understand that. I love to use the wine analogy in terms of art, you know, because. When people come into a gallery, they feel defensive if they feel like they should know something.
Mm-hmm.
That there's no reason that they should know it because they don't really have a frame of reference to make a judgment about it.
Right.
And if you take 10 glasses or 5 glasses of red wine and put it in front of somebody who's never tasted wine before and said to them, "Great, tell me what the best one is and what the worst one is and what in between." They would be hard put to do that because they don't have a frame of reference within which to make those judgments because they haven't tasted enough wine.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, you're right on.
And I think the eye is a muscle, just like any other muscle. The more you use it, the more developed it gets, and the better you are at making these kinds of judgments. Certainly, also it helps if you. You know, learn more about what art is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that helps. But people, I think, should not feel defensive. They should not feel that they should know something, and they should be comfortable asking questions
right.
if they don't know. Because people who are in my business love to talk about the work, mm-hmm. and there is no question that it's a dumb question.
Right, right. And that's kind of what this podcast is about, because people are kind of intimidated by galleries, and they're like, "What should I do? I don't want to look stupid." So it's kind of like bringing the gallery to them, kind of in a safe space. You know, I'm asking the stupid questions. I'm asking and just kind of showing that nothing's wrong with it. There's really no stupid question, and there's and art galleries are really great places. You know, places to learn.
Yeah, I'd like to say that art galleries are the best free show in town.
Absolutely. I think so, too.
And if your podcast, you know, lets people be aware of that they shouldn't be defensive, that they should ask questions, mm-hmm. then you're doing a public service.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. It's just kind of like, I don't know. It's funny because I always bring up the experience with my boyfriend's mother. We were talking about going to a gallery, and she's just like, "What should I do? Should I just stand there and like tilt my head?" And I'm just like, "Yeah, I think that's probably right." And we were just kind of like talking about it because I was just like, "I don't know what to do."
I think a lot of it is like, you know, like you said, people are defensive and they feel like they should know something, and you know, they should feel comfortable asking questions.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Howard. This has been so great. We've been talking for an hour. This has been really great.
I can't believe we talked for an hour.
I can't believe it either.
Thank you.
So do you want to do it again sometime?
Oh, sure. Cool. Fun talking to you.
Yeah, it's great talking to you too. Hang on one second. Let me turn this off. Thank you so much to Howard Yuzerski of the Howard Yuzerski Gallery in Boston, Massachusetts, for talking about the Sandra Stark exhibition. And thank you to you for listening. And if you're in the Boston area, stop by the gallery. It goes for April 10th, 2018. Thanks for listening. This episode was brought to you by McGinn's Roxborough Maple Irish Whiskey.